This is Access Radio Chicago, AM 750, WNDZ, Portage, Indiana, Chicago.
The views, opinions, and beliefs expressed on this radio program by the hosts, co-hosts, guests, and or callers do not necessarily reflect those of this radio station and its ownership. The following program, Golfers on Golf, is paid for by Rory Spears Sports Communications Limited and guests.
Welcome to Golfers on Golf Radio, hosted by Ed Stevenson, Phil Berger, Rory Spears, and Len Zien, Chicago's favorite foursome.
All right. Hey, good morning, everybody. It's 10 a.m. And lace up the soft spikes and finish that last stretch. It's time. We're on the tee. We're going to be bringing you an hour of golf talk, bringing you the world of golf from a Chicago area perspective, lots to talk about this week. Here in studio this morning, I'm PGA professional Ed Stevenson, alongside longtime Chicago area sports journalist Rory Spears, and not in studio, but co-hosting with us is the Illinois Golf Hall of Famer Len Zien. Bill Berger will check on shortly, but guys, it's the final week of the PGA Tour season, the wrap-up of the FedEx Cup playoffs at the East Lake. A lot of money at stake. I think total purse of about $75 million. A small sum of $18 million to the winner, and some very familiar names at the top. But I think a lot more going on this week too, especially with Ryder Cup picks to get finished up, and always a little intrigue here as we wrap up the PGA Tour season and look forward to LIV Golf still going on.
You know, Ed, the U.S. Senior Women's Open is going on out in Oregon, and Mistwood's very own Nicole Jarre, one of the two players under par, sitting in second place.
And wow.
Thrilled for her, and then also making the cut and sitting down in 36th place, Jamie Fisher from up at Conway Farms Golf Club in Lake Forest. And Lenny Zien down in the Paul Mayer Studios in Sarasota, Florida. Boy, things bode well for our senior lady golfers who are really putting on a show at the U.S. Senior Women's Open.
Yeah, you know, that it's been we had such a great debut that tournament back at Chicago Golf Club 5 years ago. And it kind of feels to me like I got kind of involved with the Legends Tour when it was held at French Lick, Indiana, for a long run there. But it never seemed like the tour really caught on, but this week it has. I mean, they've got TV coverage again this week, and I noticed I got a note earlier that the Legends Tour itself, which has not had many tournaments, is going to have a tournament in Boston next week, and Jamie Fisher is paired with Pat Bradley in that one as the defending champion team. But of course, this week it's one to pay attention, especially to Nicole, because that's quite an accomplishment to be right up there. She's ahead of Annika Sorenstam. A lot of big name players she's ahead on over there. Annika Sorenstam, Trish Johnson, Julie Inkster. She didn't make the cut. I mean, she's playing with the players who were legends in the game back in their heyday on the LPGA Tour. So we wish Nicole nothing but the best. She had a bypass the Illinois Women's Open this year, which was a surprise, but she had another tournament conflict. But it looks like she's at the top of her game right now. I heard some comments from her on social media today, and she's been more than pleasantly surprised, kind of ebullient about the way she played those first two rounds. So I hope she can keep it up.
Yeah, I hope so too. It'd be great if she could you know, hold it together for the weekend and, you know, end up in a top 10 and, you know, obviously quick automatic berth into next year's field and things like that go along with top finishes. So we are really rooting for her to keep it going. Len Zien, I was just wondering if there's been anything publicly going on. You and I exchanged a few emails in the last 48 hours in regards to one of the big golf properties down in your neck of the woods, and a favorite spot for many Chicago golfers when they get out of here during the winter and they want to go play some golf in the Sunshine State of Florida. But it sounds like some of the renovation plans and things that have been talked about over at Innisbrook have been held up a little bit longer than they thought, but maybe getting close to being able to get things rolling if they get some permits. What a surprise from the county.
Yeah, I tell you, that, of course, that's the PGA Tour site, one of our favorite places. It's only about an hour from where we live here. I haven't really, all I know is that Mike Williams, who had been the general manager there, has kind of more into a semi-retirement mode and just working on a few projects. Not really, they've got a replacement in, and Mike is just kind of fading out of it. But they needed to do a few things there, especially around the, they were going to redo the Packards, which is was a great steakhouse there, named after Larry Packard, the former architect from the late architect that did so many good things in the Chicago area. Nothing more specific, but I think that they'll be promoting things that are going on there quite a bit as the snowbirds start arriving in the next couple months. So we'll have our eye peeled for that.
Yeah, and you know what? You mentioned Valspar and the PGA Tour. We wrapped up the PGA Tour here last week in town over at Olympia Fields. And when it was all said and done, we caught up with the champion, last week's winner, the man that shot 61 with a whole bunch of threes on his scorecard.
Was that all?
Yeah. On Olympia Fields North. Yeah, that's that was Victor Hovland. And let's hear a little bit from the champ.
2023 BMW Championship winner, Victor Hovland. Congratulations, Victor, on a remarkable victory. That final round was pretty impressive. I'll just run through a couple of things first before we get a comment from you. But 61 in the final round, it's the low round by a winner this season on tour. It's also the lowest final round in the FedEx Cup playoffs history. It's your career low round. The 28 on the back nine is your career low nine-hole scores. It's your fifth win on tour and your second this season following the Memorial. It's quite a resume.
That was it.
How are you feeling right now after that dramatic finish?
Yeah, that was cool. I didn't think too much about all those things. I just kind of kept on focusing shot for shot and got closer to Fitzy and Scotty and just kept pouring it on and now we're here. So it's haven't had a lot of time to process it, to be honest.
Well, you also win 2,000 FedEx Cup points and moved to number two in the standings going into East Lake. So obviously that was a big goal to get as high as you can before heading into that tournament. Five victories this, in your career and two this season. Solid playing.
Yeah, thank you. To win at a place like this and amongst the best players in the world, it's pretty cool. And to do it that way, making seven birdies the last nine holes to beat those guys, that was pretty cool.
Okay, we'll take some questions. We'll get a microphone to you, and we'll start with Doug over here in the middle.
Victor, just some super quick housekeeping. What were the irons you had on 17 and 18?
I hit a 9-iron into 17, and I hit a pitching wedge into 18.
And at what point, even though you're starting to pile up some birdies, at what point did winning or catching Scotty and Matt get into your head?
Honestly, I didn't really, obviously I wanted to win, but when I made the putt on 15 for birdie, I felt like, okay, this we've got a chance now. If I can finish pretty well, and you never know what's going to happen behind you. But then when I made the birdie on 17, I was feeling really good. And then the birdie on 18 as well, I felt like I could win it outright. But it wasn't until then, I had no idea what was going on. So I was just going to try to play well and keep making birdies.
All right, that is your 2023 BMW Championship winner, Victor
Hovland. Wow, when you get in a flow like that.
You know what? It was pretty funny to see, he throws up a 61 on Sunday. And what do we see on Twitter or, I don't know, people call it X or whatever it is these days now. But a member...
They call it Twitter still.
Well, yeah, most people do. But it was interesting to see a member of the Medina Country Club Renovation Committee saying, hey, does this mean, and there's a picture of a bulldozer with dirt piles that apparently came from a Medina stock and says, well, yeah, a 61 can do this to you.
What is it about the Chicago area? My goodness. You know, I drove past Medina Country Club this morning and see that grow in underway and yeah. The construction still going on parts of it. And certainly we know so much of that was in reaction to the super low scores when the BMW was last on course three. But, you know, here we go. Another venue that, I played it last October. It's not easy.
Yeah.
And
the rough was deep.
I didn't hit 9-iron in and pitching wedge in. And I'm not sure I played the same tees either, Rory.
Well, our first guest this morning, he knows a little bit about equipment, but he's got another role in golf, and we're glad to have him back in the sport. He's been in the studio here with us before, but today he's checking in from the Sunshine State, and it's great to have with us the Senior Vice President of Callaway Apparel, Tim Clark. Tim, how are you this morning?
Yeah, guys. Hey, Ed, nice to talk to both of you. You know, it's I'm doing very well. I'm actually, I was in Atlanta this week at East Lake, so, but boy, I would listen to you guys talk about that Hovland round, and I'm actually a member over there at Olympia Field, so that was impressive, that 28 on the back. That was crazy.
Well, who knows, amazing. Tim? You know, they're almost done with the South Course. I hear the work they've done over there will be wrapped up by October, and then they're going to start looking at what the plan could be on the north side going forward. And who knows, maybe they have to take a second look at what that new master plan turns into.
Yeah, no, I think, you know, I think Ed said it best. I mean, for a mortal player, it's not an easy golf course as it is. So, but when you get to these, you know, we talk about this a lot over the years, guys, back in my days at Wilson. I mean, these players are so big, so strong, they're so well trained. They got, you know, they have, you know, TrackMan. I mean, everything is dialed into the perfection. And when they do get hot, they can go out and do superhero things, and that's basically what happened last week down there. But then I think, you know, the cool thing about it is it's golf back in Chicago. I think it's exciting. You know, you got Alex on later here. The tournament coming back to Rich Harvest is exciting. So there's just a lot of good golf stuff, and you guys obviously have the best weekend show in Chicago for golf radio, and it's great to be on it again.
Well, Tim, it's great to have you back on the airwaves with us here again. But Tim, take us through your tour of 2023. I know you stepped back from Wilson Golf, took a break, caught your breath a little bit, and now instead of pushing golf clubs and trying to create driver versus driver programs, you're now more on the apparel side. So does that mean we'll soon see golf shirt versus golf shirt coming up somewhere?
Yeah, well, you know, we're working on all sorts of things. You know, in all honesty, it was great to get a little break. You know, the equipment business, I will say, you know, from my early transition is probably a much more challenging and difficult business than maybe this side. But this opportunity just came across. I mean, you know, the story of Perry Ellis Golf is amazing, and they got so many great brands. I was at East Lake, obviously one of the brands that I don't run, but they have the PGA Tour brand that they run here also. So my job is really pretty exciting. I am the Executive Vice President of Callaway Golf, and I also am the Executive Vice President of Original Penguin. So, you know, that's another, the Munsing Wear is another cool brand. So it's been a great dive back in. I was out at Carlsbad, obviously, to you know, get my intros over there, and it was, you know, great to see Chip Brewer. He gave me a lot of flack about seeing Tim Clark and the Callaway headquarters, because obviously he and I go back a pretty long way in the industry. I would say if you go back to the days when he was at Adams, we spent quite a bit of time together competing head to head with where the Wilson brand and Adams was positioned. So he had a lot of fun with me coming on board with his brand and his team. So, and I'm super excited. I think, you know, quite honestly, amongst friends here, I think, you know, Callaway's done probably the best job in golf regarding you know, the holistic approach of getting more players into the game through Topgolf. I think they've accelerated their equipment positions. And if you look at their shares, they're kind of winning. And I'm in a great position because I get to kind of ride that coattail and work with all the Perry Ellis design to get great products out for golf professionals and golf shops. And we're just going to launch a new premium line. That'll be on the upper scale of things from a material perspective and really compete head to head, you know, with the elite brands in the golf apparel space. So a lot of exciting things going on down here.
Well, Tim, it's great to hear your voice, and the show is better when you're on it, quite honestly. And great to hear overall, the sustainability and continued success of the Callaway brand, names like Perry Ellis. To hear Munsingware is, for those of us that have been around the industry, it feels great. And, you know, yet here we are, we run into old friends, it's a small world, and yet we're at a point in time that seems unprecedented. You know, from my end of it as a course operator with multiple courses, I continue to be blown away at just the interest in golf, the desire that people have to play, be outside, the competition for tee times, it's remarkable. And I know in your orbit, your end of the industry, so there are some pretty smart minds trying to figure out what we need to do to continue to sustain this and how to really deal with what has been the growth and demand for the game of golf, the apparel and all things golf industry. What's been the conversation in your world, Tim?
Yeah, well, Ed, and then you bring it up. For all the misery that COVID brought to, you know, families and illnesses and deaths, it's a terrible thing that happened. The one I would say bright spot is that golf really reconnected with a lot of people as an activity, and I think it has been wonderful for the sport. If you look at, and you were touching on it, you know, the conversion rate of top golf players that are going from the top golf experience to a course, you know, they're converting over 6% of those players now. And pre-COVID, that number was closer to 0.5%. I think it's a great time to be around. It's funny, guys, and I know you've all been around it as long as I have, but, you know, taking 4 months away really reiterated how blessed you are to be in such a great game with such great people. And, to step back into it and reconnect with old friends and colleagues like yourselves, it's been pretty special. But I think the game of golf right now, and I'll speak to this from my Wilson experience, has probably the brightest runway of most sports, because it is a much more youthful approach out there today. I would call it much more user friendly, you know, with the music and some of the other things that clubs are embracing. And I do think that the family aspect can't be overlooked, right? You see so many more kids and families out there playing golf, and Ed, you would see it because you're the operator. But I mean, I see it when I'm at, you know, my club or when I'm driving by a public facility. It's just awesome to see that. And, you know, I think if we can just, keep pushing on the excitement around it and things like East Lake, you know, seeing, you know, the tournament at East Lake was jam packed. I was there Thursday and Friday. It was jam packed, right? And schools in session down here, but it was crowded, and the crowds at the BMW looked impressive. I wasn't able to get back for it, but I think those types of things and the excitement around it keep this game front and center. I don't see any slowdown in sight, and the NGF data that keeps coming out shows that there's more off-course golfers today than there is on-course, which is just flat amazing.
Well, of course, there was a long period of time where NGF wasn't measuring the off-course, and now it's a really big segment to measure.
It's bigger than the on-course. Well, yeah, I mean, I can go back, you know, again, you know, I don't want to date myself in the industry, guys, but, you know, I can go back to when, you know, they were talking about, you know, 27 million core golfers in the United States, right? And they were talking about like 3 million off course. And now, you know, you're looking at almost 35 million off course players, and you're looking at what, close to 30 million on course players. And it's just a real boon. And I think, you know, I think keeping the game, you know, to me, one of the things is keeping the game fun and fresh and also accessible. I think we got to keep it accessible. And I think, you know, if we keep to those basic principles and make no mistake, continue to bring innovation, whether that's in, you know, the style you wear on the course and clothing, whether it's in equipment, whether it's in golf balls, you got to keep making it fun and better. I mean, I do think the challenge is these elite players are so good that, you know, I know the rollback has gotten some pushback from, you know, the PGA of America as well as the PGA Tour, but, you know, at some point, I guess, you know, there's going to have to be something, because like we were, you guys were talking before I joined, you know, the scores on a Olympia Fields North are 61 is pretty darn impressive.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head earlier, Tim, as you mentioned the fun and the fact that there is a really a new generation of golfers that like doing it their way, and the industry's accepting it. It's the music on the course, it's different apparel, it's not the same old rigid industry that it used to be, and I think that opens the door to so many people and puts the focus back on fun more so than score. And, you know, we saw that happen in the ski industry. It languished when it was two skis. This is how you go down the hill and this is how you dress. And then someone showed up with a snowboard.
Yeah.
They were dressed a little differently and they saved how many resorts. And we're seeing that in golf. And I've got to imagine that on the apparel side of things, even though we have names of brands that are steeped in tradition, that balance between the tradition of what that brand means and what the new breed of golfer is looking for has to be a pretty interesting mix.
Well, yeah, Ed, you bring it up. I mean, and this is the biggest change I've seen, and it's not only on apparel. It's in golf balls. It's in other, you know, it's in some starting to show up in equipment. But you know, the old days, the barriers of entries to these things, you know, with the ownership of factories and things like that, that you never really saw brands pop up, right? But that is definitely not the case today. I mean, you know, you got how many direct-to-consumer golf ball brands out there? You know, you got all these, you know, I mean, Barstool Sports. I was at the apparel shop at Eastlake, and Barstool Sports had a huge floor segment that was for them. And I was kind of looking at it going, wow, man. I think like in any business, things evolve and change. And I think the key thing is to stay with those movements so you don't get left behind.
All right, it's 10:21. You're listening to Golfers on Golf Radio. Rory Spears, Ed Stevenson in the studio. Len Zeem is with us from the Palm Air Studios in Sarasota. And Lenny, what have you got for Tim? I know as a guy who played a lot of Wilson golf clubs over the years, you're anxious to see how you can get styled up by some of Tim's new apparel designs.
Oh, I need some style. I need some style, that's for sure.
No, come on, man.
I tell you, Tim, this does seem like quite an interesting change in job for you. Are you still going to be having pretty much contact with players like you had at Wilson?
Yeah.
I mean, we talked to you about a lot of stuff all over the years on that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah, absolutely. So I'll be responsible for the player, you know, acquisitions. You know, on the Callaway side, you know, we have Harry Hall, we have Brian Stewart. You know, we have Emma Attali on the LPGA. We're looking to add to that. Obviously, we have Cam Smith on the PGA Tour. I'm actually currently working with Cam on a day at Doral. That's where Perry Ellis is headquartered. We're going to have some of our VIP guests in, and he's going to play a round of golf and do a dinner with us. So, yeah, so, you know, it's interesting. The business card has changed, but to be honest, a lot of the job responsibilities are very similar, which is what was interesting about this. And quite honestly, the excitement to learn the other side of the fence, right? I mean, you know, I've watched apparel, you know, I know a lot of Adidas and Footgear and Nike guys, and quite honestly, Wilson, we lost a lot of people over the years to Nike back when Nike was in equipment, and many of them have stayed on with Nike in the apparel side. So I am excited about what the opportunity is at this company in regards to being a little bit more golf centric, Len, and that's where I think the expertise that, and the reason I was of interest to them, and the reason obviously they were interested in me, is they really want to get deeper into the DNA of golf. And you know, spending the week in Atlanta with the PGA Tour and the tour people, and kind of talking about, hey, why aren't we in the shop with a Callaway or a Penguin? You know, these are the conversations they hadn't been having, and this is probably where my background and expertise comes in very handy.
Well, Tim, I got to tell you that it'll be really interesting to see, you know, the different things that'll be coming out every year. And, you know, can I ask you to look into your crystal ball a little bit and tell us, you know, normally we get down to Florida in January for the PGA show, and the apparel companies are there. Is there a certain color or styles trending that we might see in the boots when we get to Florida in about 4 months?
Well, there's no doubt, you know, and again, I'm a neophyte on the style side, and thank God they have a huge design department. You know, if I was designing the styles, guys, they would be, you know, black, red, gray, and, you know, blue. That would be about it. So, but there's no doubt that the pattern thing is hot, and it continues to be hot. The integration of basically products into the patterns is really probably one of the most popular things, whether it's, you know, umbrellas or, you know, chairs or whatever. So there's a lot of that going on. But the good news is we have a world-class design team that stays current on colors. I will be at the PGA show, as we will be down there obviously displaying. And I think you'll see I think one of the changes from equipment to the apparel side is there's basically three drops a year, as we call it. So we're in equipment, you kind of do the big launch, and that's always, you know, kind of for kind of hitting the start of the season. We used to do it at Wilson back as a February launch date. But in this business, you actually kind of have a late Jan launch. You have what they call summer launch, and then you have fall and, you know, kind of cooler weather gear launch. So I'm learning all that. But I can tell you, I think apparel is, you know, it's a mammoth business in the sport. And I think as more people have grown in their interest in golf, whether it be as a spectator or even as a casual wearer of golf apparel to go to work, the business has been exceptionally robust, and, you know, my timing of joining has been great because the business is up, you know, high double digits. So I'm unlike when I got my opportunity at Wilson, I'm coming into a ship that's running very well. And so it's nice to be in a position to look for ways to tweak and improve and not have to go through what I guess I'd call the turnaround process that took place for me back in the early days of taking over the golf group there.
I think Ed Stevenson is already thinking about how he can outfit his entire team of staff employees through Two Page Golf. You might be getting that order.
We should have that discussion. Like I said, some of the cool things about it is, you know, Perry Ellis is, you know, I mean, it's a billion-dollar apparel brand. So the resources that we have are second to none. And I say that because, you know, we have we do all our own inline embroidery. We have 10 super high speed machines, all brand new in the last 8 months. And so for us to get into the business and to be able to go out and do beautiful logos. And again, what I also like, you know, and this is, hey, Ed, I'm pitching you now. What I like about it is you also have different brands you can choose from, Ed. So, you know,
absolutely.
I mean, if you're not a Callaway house, which obviously we know a lot of places aren't, you know, there's Penguin. And if you're not a Penguin Munsingwear kind of place, then there's PGA Tour and all, you know, so having that arsenal to come in and talk about is really what got me excited. And you guys know I came up through sales, right? So that's kind of, so if I got something I can sell, I get excited about it. It's just the way my life has gone. So I got here and I'm like, what's great about this is there's no shortage of things to sell.
Well, Tim, hey, love it. And looking forward to that conversation. You got me excited too. You know, you make a great point. There's so many. There's kind of the double whammy in a positive way of not only more people interested in golf, but when it comes to even what they're going to wear to work, they're not wearing a tie. You know, I very occasionally pull that thing out, and I get people looking at me funny, wondering what that thing is around my neck. It's different. People actually want to be comfortable. They want to be stylish, and golf is right in the sweet spot. And yeah, when you have the array of brand options that you do, and with you at the helm of the ship, whether you're turning it around or whether it's already cruising in the right direction, I think it's going to be an exciting path into the next year.
Well, I can't thank you enough, guys. I appreciate you guys having me on, and I always enjoyed coming into the studio, so maybe next summer when I get back north, we can do it in person again.
Yeah,
hey, Len, stay cool down there in Florida. It's been awfully hot.
Oh, it's brutal.
Yeah.
95 degrees every day.
Yeah, it's tough. I'm learning. I thought it was a great idea when I first got the Miami thing, and I think what I should have said is I won't start till, you know, November 1st. That would have been the smart play, guys.
All right, Tim Clark. Hey, listen, it's great to see you back in the sport. Thrilled to have you back with us here on Golfers on Golf. And, you know, one of my haunts these days, the Grove Country Club, and thrilled to be working for a Callaway staffer, our director of golf, Tony Putzer. And who knows, maybe you'll have to come trooping through the front doors of our pro shop out there in Long Grove. And add a few other things besides Travis Matthau and Johnny O's into our pro shop. But, Tim, again, thanks so much for coming on. And if we don't talk to you sooner, we'll definitely look forward to talking to you in Orlando in January.
Yeah, I look forward to actually seeing you guys in person again. You guys have been great for the Chicago area. I'm proud to have been on your show a few times. But more importantly, I think what you guys have brought to the game of golf in Chicagoland to keep it front and center and keep people talking about it. And I think it's been a great run. It's been great for the game. And obviously you guys are, your guys' resumes are even more stellar than the resume I carry with, you know, Len's history and Ed's history and Rory, your history. So you guys are great ambassadors to keep the game front and center and talk about what's happening and where it's going. But most importantly, you know, being part of the future vision. So, I look forward to seeing you in Orlando, guys, and it was great to be back.
Thanks, Tim.
Thanks, Tim. That's Tim Clark, thanks, back in the game again with Callaway Apparel, and thrilled to hear that. We're going to take our break, and we'll be back with Alex Klein-Wedin from Rich Harvest Farms, home of next month's LIV Golf Tournament, right after this. Erin Hills, one of Wisconsin's top public golf destinations and a top 100 rated golf course, is ready to welcome golfers to a championship golf experience. Erin Hills is where you can enjoy walking on the rolling hills of the Kettle Moraine area just northwest of Milwaukee. Erin Hills has already hosted 4 USGA championships, including the U.S. Amateur and the 2017 U.S. Open. Now, a 5th USGA championship is coming in 2025, and this time it's the ladies' turn when the Women's U.S. Open arrives. It's also one of 6 U.S. Open courses open for public play. Now at Erin Hills is the 63,000-square-foot putting green, the Drumlin, open for unlimited use for those with a scheduled tee time. While at Erin Hills, you can stay in rooms over the Irish pub or in one of the several cottages right on property. During the warm days of summer, enjoy beverages like a Fescue Rescue or a cold Erin Hills Pilsner. So book your tee times now, because tee times and rooms are going quickly. So book your play and stay by calling Erin Hills at 866-772-4769 or visit erinhills.com. Misswood Golf Club, located on Renwick Road in Romeoville, is one of the Chicago area's finest public golf facilities, where golfers find a commitment to excellence by the owners, the McWethy family. Misswood Golf Club, designed and renovated by architect Ray Hearn, is a links-style golf course with 20 sidewall bunkers like those found in Scotland or Ireland. Misswood has played host to several championships, including the state amateur, and it's the yearly home of the Illinois Women's Open. The driving range and performance center comes with natural grass hitting areas and indoor hitting bays, perfect for lessons, practice, or club fittings. Before or after your round, stop in and enjoy the bar and grill in the performance center or dining in McWethy's Tavern in the main clubhouse. So make your tee times today by calling 815-254-3333 or visit online mistwoodgc.com.
All right, and we're back. You're tuned into Golfers on Golf Radio here on WNDZ. Here in studio, I'm PGA professional Ed Stevenson alongside Rory Spears. Our co-host Len Zeem is with us on the line from slightly hot and humid Florida. And hey, guys, although the although we've been talking about all the great tournaments that have happened and things that have gone on competitively in golf this summer, We're pretty excited that the season really doesn't end. In fact, the showcase event is going to be here just next month.
Yeah, and I'm really glad that it's back again this year. It was our showcase event last year. 22, maybe 23,000 people were out at Rich Harvest Farms on Sunday to see an exciting finish. And the good news is that the only exciting of golf event next month is not just the Ryder Cup. That's over in Italy. But so for those of us who like to see things up close and right here in town, we'll go out to Sugar Grove. We'll go out to Rich Harvest Farms, and we're going to go out there right now. Our next guest is vice president of the club, Rich Harvest Farms out there, Jerry Rich's outstanding facility. And we welcome back to the program Alex Klein-Wedin. Alex, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me, guys. Couldn't be more excited to be back again for another year.
Well, Alex, it's got to be exciting times out in Sugar Grove. And, you know, I had the opportunity to come out and look around a few weeks back, but the serious preparations hadn't started yet. So is hospitality starting to get built up, the sky boxes and those type of things?
It really is. So, Rory, we're on track to be, you know, even bigger and better than last year's very successful tournament. We couldn't be prouder to once again host LIV Golf. Last year, to have Cameron Smith take home the individual trophy, to watch the Four Aces up on the stage, and really set the bar for this year. It was one of the best attended LIV events last year for their launch, and then we're here to reset that bar and really, really put on a show for Chicago.
Hey, Alex, Ed Stevenson here, and as you talk about resetting the bar, I think one of the things about tournament golf that hopefully the fan never realizes is how much work really goes into the planning and preparation. And I'm sure that when the bar was set last year, you learned a few things to figure out how you were going to set it even higher this year. But I guess two-part question here. When did the planning for this year's event really start in earnest? I'm sure much earlier than anyone would even imagine. And what are some of the things that were takeaways from last year that will make this year even bigger and better?
You know, really the preparation for this year started the day after last year ended. I mean, it's been full steam ahead. LIV Golf has been such an amazing partner, and we've learned a ton. You're putting everything together in a much shorter timeline than we have for the Solheim Cup or some of the previous tournaments.
Right.
We learned a lot on what works, what doesn't. We were able to lean back on some of our previous experiences, and we really saw what the fans wanted. And then working with LIV to put together, we're going to bring back the watering hole concept that really set the stage in Australia. Chase Koepka made the hole-in-one. I think everybody's seen that replay, the excitement. And golf but louder is the theme here. So we've really taken that, the fan feedback, and said, okay, how do you do this? You know, picture this. You have an AMPA-style theater from tee to green on the 17th hole here at Rich Harvest Farm. The excitement. We're going to have Ray Clay, Chicago sports public address announcer, out here announcing the players, stadium atmosphere. We can't wait to see everyone, and, I mean, the sales so far have been tremendous, so we're excited to really have this place buzzing.
Well, Alex, you're going to have to make sure Ray is not yelling, "You're Chicago Bulls!" But, yeah, I got to listen to him a lot at the United Center over the years. He always did a nice job out there. You know, Alex, some of the things that people really enjoyed was the Club 54 and the assortment of food trucks that were out there. It was a great food court up there around the home holes. How much of that is back? And also, I understand you've got some really exciting live entertainment coming in post-round play on the weekend.
We do. So one of the feedback things that we got was tremendous last year was exactly what you're talking about, the interactive fan zone. So we are absolutely going to bring that back, continue to build both hospitality that we had last year, Club 54 Gallery Club, and we've added a few new products to really provide an area for everyone that wants to be there. So the 17th hole is going to have a number of different opportunities to get involved. As you mentioned, the concerts too are a huge hit. This year we could not be more excited to have Nelly on Friday night and the incredible Tiësto on Saturday. So these are two Grammy Award-winning artists that, once again, just bring that energy to this crowd, and we can't wait to see everyone.
Well, it should be really exciting. Len Zeem, what have you got for Alex Klein-Wedin here about the LIV Golf Tournament that I know you'll be back in town to cover?
Yeah, I'm excited about seeing the one at Rich Harvest. I've been to the first season. I was at the tournament in Doral, and the season ender there, and I was at the LIV tournament in Orlando this year. So I've gotten a taste for it, and I'm enthusiastic about it. But I guess what I'm thinking, you know, what the tour, Alex, has grown so much this year. So many more tournaments. I'm wondering if the events that we've seen so far, have you seen the same kind of growth? You know, you're expecting a lot more people. Have you seen same kind of growth, the same kind of tweaks in the tournaments that you're doing at these other events as well?
Absolutely. It's been absolutely tremendous. I appreciate that question a ton. I've been fortunate to go to a handful of them. And just the people coming out, and once they've experienced it, they've realized how exciting and how much fun this product is. I have a number of friends that really aren't golfers. They might be golf fans or occasional golfers, but they've come to this and realized we can bring our friends, we can bring, you know, whoever it is, and they're going to come have a great time. It's the entertainment side of it that really is a side of golf that isn't shown. And that's where we just love seeing everyone.
Well, Alex, I'll tell you what. I know that the people I talked to who went out there had a great time. Even one of my coworkers from Heritage Oaks was out there with his dad, and they saw about one half a hole's worth of action before my coworker's father was hit by a golf ball from one of the players. But in spite of having I believe a little bit of a bruise on his hip, still really enjoyed the all the excitement out there. And I'll tell you what, Alex, the people who were out there saw it in person. And, you know, a lot of things being said about Phil Mickelson these days, and, you know, how much he likes to bet on a variety of sports. But pulling off that over 200-yard shot from off a cart path and sticking it about 10 feet from the pin on the 18th hole, just one of the most amazing shots that I've ever seen in golf. And, you know, I've been privileged enough to see, you know, Arnold Palmer play and Jack play and other number ones who have come along since then. And I don't recall anybody hitting a shot like Phil pulled off from the cart path almost over in the trees and behind the TV broadcast booth over there on the 18th hole last year.
It was absolutely spectacular, wasn't it? That was special.
Yeah, you definitely you look for moments like that when you go out on the golf course to watch these players play. And, you know, I got to see Victor Hovland last Sunday hit some great shots up close and personal. But, you know, when you get on the golf course and you really get up close to these players and you see some of the things they pull off, or you stand there and you go, well, he's in deep rough, he's only going to advance at about 100 yards, and then you look and the ball's up there 30 feet from the stick. It's just unbelievable at times.
Well, we're excited to, again, once again, bring that back, bring really a product for Chicago, because as you look at the schedule, we're not going to have a ton of golf in Chicago the next few years apart from the President's Cup. And really just bringing that energy, bringing the fun, bringing the game of golf and the excitement to the people of Chicago. And I think one of the things, Rory, that we didn't touch on but really important is really what we're doing with the community. And that's something that we're extremely proud of. Mr. Rich, our foundation here, and Rich Harvest Farms is really what we've done with that, with our Kids Golf Foundation, and bringing, you know, tens of millions of dollars of an economic impact and philanthropic support for local organizations. And it's the people that need it. So we're partnering this year with local college and universities, Northern Illinois University, DePaul University, to help bring their kids, their friends out to this tournament and really trying to give back. So that's been also a lot of fun this year with a little bit more time to put that all together.
Well, it's one of the great things that one of the great impacts that golf has, and certainly that's where it aligns so well with Jerry Rich, and certainly his legacy and impact on kids golf. And I guess, you know, it's community benefit through golf, but louder with Liv. And for those that you know may have remembered going out to Rich Harvest Farms, perhaps for something like Solheim Cup. This is obviously going to be a different experience, but some of the logistics, some of the parking and that sort of thing. What can a visitor who maybe hasn't been back or wasn't back last year for the LIV event, what can they expect and look forward to?
They can look forward to one of the easiest, most seamless, transitions to a golf course that you'll ever see. We're extremely fan friendly because of the property. You park across the street. You walk right in. You walk right into the fan village. You have the food trucks. We want everyone to be able to come, park, walk right in, and not have to do shuttles and not have as much of a project. I mean, this should be easy. Bring your family and come have fun. And that's really what we've designed this for.
Well, Alex, let me ask you this. I don't know if it's all the details are finalized yet, but might this be the last time we sort of see Rich Harvest Farms looking the way that it does? Mr. Rich had hinted to me that there could be some downtime next summer with some course improvements going on. What can you tell us about that?
That's a Jerry Rich question, Rory. I appreciate it. No, we're excited to be here, this year and moving forward, and really to continue to put tournaments on the biggest stages.
All right, real good. Well, Alex, listen, anything else you want to shout out to all the listeners here before we let you go to enjoy the rest of your weekend?
LIVgolf.com. Get your tickets now. Hospitality is almost sold out on Saturday, Sunday. Friday's going fast. The crowds are absolutely spectacular. They're off to a hot start, and we can't wait to once again just share this with everyone. So, guys, I can't thank you enough for having us, and we are really, really excited to see everyone in September.
Can't wait, Alex.
All right, Alex. Yeah, we're looking forward to September 22, 23, and 24, LIV Golf back at Rich Harvest Farms in Sugar Grove. Alex, have a great weekend. Thanks for jumping on with us.
Thanks, guys. Take care. Bye.
Okay, it is 10:46, and last week, when we were at Olympia Fields, we heard from a couple of the top players, and for a moment here, one player that's actually drawing some flack this week is Rory McIlroy, who had another solid finish. Not a W at Olympia Fields, but he's playing hurt this week at the Tour Championship, and apparently frustrated a lot of the gambling community that didn't realize he was going into this tournament sort of playing hurt and maybe not at 100%, but here was Rory's final thoughts from Olympia Fields last week.
I played good tee to green, missed a lot of chances. Sort of similar story to last week in Memphis. So, yeah, we'll see. I'm gonna go home for a couple of nights, and come back up to Atlanta Tuesday, work on my game a little bit for a day and a half, and go try to win another FedEx Cup.
Rory, do you know what putter you're going to use next week yet?
No, I might dabble with the Spider again on Tuesday, Wednesday at the Tour Championship. I felt like I hit good putts. Like, again, like I held some really good putts and I missed some short ones, and sort of, again, hard here with the short ones and how much break they had, and then with the green, sort of, I always felt like I was aiming too high, and then I'd miss them low because I just couldn't commit to aiming it so far outside the hole. So getting back on greens that I know pretty well and pretty confident on next week, I'm looking forward to that.
How much confidence are you bringing into next week, a place you obviously enjoy quite a lot?
Yeah, I mean, I'm playing great. Tee to green's the best I've played in a long time. Gonna have to drive the ball probably a little straighter, but I felt like I found something on the back nine there today to go with into next week. But overall, I'm in a really good position going into next week, so excited for it.
Just a couple of comments on Victor, who you play with today, who's looking out on to win now.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah, looks like he's going to win after Scotty's bogey there. So Yeah, absolutely. Amazing golf, amazing playing. Yeah, look, he's, you know, he's had some great wins already this year. Had a great chance at the PGA Championship, didn't quite get it done. But I mean, yeah, look, he's a world-class player, and looking forward to him being on my team for the Ryder Cup in a few weeks' time.
Anything in particular?
All right, that's
most,
Rory McIlroy and some of his closing thoughts at Olympia
pedal,
Fields last
scare.
Week. Len Ziem, you know what? You know, you got a chance to, you know, watch on the big screen and watch Rory, and it seemed like he was missing his share of fairways at Olympia Fields, and more often than not was having to blast the ball onto the greens from not some of the best lies off the fairway. And but it seems like he came out of that healthy and then apparently went home and was just doing a simple chore around the house when he tweaked his back.
Yeah, he certainly hasn't been the Rory McIlroy that we know this whole, really the whole playoff series. It's been puzzling. I think the back is the reason. But you know, I can look back on the tournament, the FedEx last year, when he opened up with a triple bogey on the very first hole, and you know, that's a heck of a way to start, and that he came bounced back from that. So I wouldn't rule him out of this. I think he'll be right in the hunt. Although it is refreshing, I think, to see both Morikawa and Hovland right up there at the top, two of the youngest of the up and coming young stars, right in the driver's seat for now. So it's going to be a great weekend to wrap up the PGA Tour season, and I'm just as interested on come Tuesday when Zach Johnson names his Ryder Cup team. So we've got a lot of good golf stuff coming up now for a while.
Yeah, we sure do. And you know, Live Golf Ryder Cup next month feels like golf season's still going for a while. And you know, I'm looking forward to seeing everything. I kind of like the fact that the PGA Tour is saying the start of their season is now back where it really always really was. It was Kapalua in Hawaii the first week of January. I never put a lot of stock into the fall season, but it will be interesting to see how things shake out and how golf plays going into the Ryder Cup. And you know, if Zach Johnson's going to make all of his picks this week, you know what? There's always time in the past few Ryder Cups where people were sort of fighting almost all the way from, unless he doesn't announce all of his spots. And that'll be interesting to see what he does this week. Also, speaking of spots, last week, you know, the Western Golf Association, BMW, announced that they're going to head out to New Jersey in 2027. But in an interview with our friend Tim Cronin at the Illinois Golfer, John Kaskowski, WGA CEO, said that the WGA and BMW are looking at possibly returning to Chicago in 5 years. And it'll be interesting to see what location they would choose by then. Medina would be a good one, but I'm sure. Not sure they'll be ready for another big event only 2 years after the President's Cup. But guys, just your thoughts on the fact that it after all the excitement last week and apparently Jim Nance and Trevor Immelman mentioning there should be a tournament here in Chicago every year. Well, yeah, a lot of other people thinking the same way, guys. Thanks for throwing that out on CBS. But Ed, Lenya, your thoughts on the big gap we have now till the PGA Tour comes back to Chicago?
Yeah, it's unfortunate. It's way too big a gap. You know what I think that would be really a good thing is to go back once again to Olympia Fields. It's produced some great drama in the events that have been held there. I know it's a little away from the mainstream in Chicago. It may be better to have a more centrally located thing, but I think that I would be very surprised if Medina would want the tournament that fast after a President's Cup is there. And I think that Olympia has proven to be, I think, maybe perhaps a better site than I thought it would be. I could think of some other courses in the past that might have been a better thing in my eyes. But I've been impressed with what goes on at Olympia, that these tournaments that they've held there. That course has the history, and it's proven to be, a good drawing card.
Well, Len, it's got a lot of checks a lot of the boxes and a lot of things to like. Of course, that's what's fun about being here in Chicago is we get the debate over where the venue should be. I'm sure the Northsiders will root for a return to Conway Farms, and I'm absolutely certain that the Gemsex would love to see something back at Cog Hill on the Dubs Dread course. But simply stated, Rory, it is far too long a gap here, and hard to imagine. I guess we're appeased a bit with the President's Cup, and more than a bit. I mean, that's a big way to fill that gap, but 5 years, gosh, it sounds like a long time.
Yeah, it sure does. And you know, you mentioned Conway Farms, Ed, and I haven't been out there to see it. I know they've done some work over the last year and a half or so. They've lengthened the golf course. They've changed some bunkers. They've done some things just to get large crowds around the golf course better should a bigger tournament come back again. And it'll be interesting to see what kind of presentation they have the next time they hold a big golf tournament. And the same can be said for Kemper Lakes. They put in some new tee boxes out there. Rick Jacobson did it, I believe.
That.
Kemper can play at almost 7,600 yards now. And so there was all sorts of different things that have been talked about. The tour has gone out there and looked at that facility a couple times over the last several years. And I think there's other options beyond Olympia Fields, especially if Olympia Fields takes a year or two now and first decides that they're going to work on the North Course. And now do you go back to your plans, your ideas that you had for the North Course? Do they change at all after seeing this tournament? I know they're somewhat landlocked, but Ed, you got to believe that whatever architect they're working with by then on the North Course, they might have to rethink a few things.
Yeah, you know, as we talked about the low scores earlier, it's in some ways, for me particularly as a PGA professional and an operator, it's you think of the audience playing the course when it's not tournament time, and constantly changing in reaction to these low scores is tough on your membership and the crowd that regularly plays there. So not just the expense, but you're building something truly for Easter Sunday, as they say, because as we see, these events just don't come along that often. So some important decisions really for the membership to think about as to whether whether that really makes sense 365 days a year, or at least 200 plus of the golf season here in Chicago, versus those 4 days that they would have championship golf.
Mm-hmm. Lenny, final thoughts this week as we come down 18 and get ready to putt out?
Well, I tell you, we probably should make it the lip service to the start of the Korn Ferry Tour playoffs. It's not very impressive for the Chicago guys in the Boise Open. Only Vince India in a tie for 22nd is they cut after every tournament in this one, and it means a career for some of these guys if they could get lucky and get onto the PGA Tour out of there. But Adrien de Chassart, Dumont de Chassart from the University of Illinois, he'll be coming back and playing in these playoffs the next 3 weeks after taking a few stints in Europe. So maybe we'll still have somebody come out of there. I hope so. That's the next big event that's really kind of in progress after this week.
All right. And you know what? It'll be a fun time again on Monday. I'm looking forward to being a part of the Illinois PGA Senior Masters event out there. Eddie, looking forward to teeing it up with your head pro, Jamie Nieto from the Preserve, a couple other of our media friends, Dave Lockhart and Steve Olkin. But usually every year, two longtime section professionals get honored for years and years of service to the industry and to the section. And it's still a big secret, I guess, who's won, because they haven't told us yet. But
the intrigue.
But to whoever those two professionals that get announced on Monday, early kudos and well done.
Great. Well, you'll have fun. Jamie Nieto's always a lot of fun to be with. I spent some time yesterday with Dave Lockhart and Patrick Manley. Their show, Golf 360, was out at the Preserve at Oak Meadows, shooting a feature on our restaurant, the Greenway Tap. So Look forward to that on NBC Sports Chicago, airing starting September 3rd. But in the
Lynx Logger? Lynx Logger?
Well, there was a lot of long snapper. Patrick Manley walked in and saw three guys sitting at our bar drinking long snapper, which is, of course, the beer that honors him as the longest tenured Chicago Bear and long snapper on that team. But guys, the time flies when we're having fun. I know we need to tap out here.
Yeah, real quick shout-out, Matt Carter at Mistwood Golf Club, one of the great fitters, put me through a putter fitting. So we'll see more of that on golfersongolf.com.
All right, well, we'll be back next week at 10 a.m. A quick thank you to our producer, Brian, for getting us out to you. And thanks again to you, our listeners, for spending part of your Saturday with us. On behalf of Len Zeman and Rory Spears, I'm Ed Stevenson. Until next week, hit them straight.
The preceding program, Golfers on Golf, was paid for by Rory Spears Sports Communications Limited and guests.